you can do damage and not necessarily feel it until, you know, 24 hours later when your body's cooled down, you've stiffened up, the heat and the pliability of the muscles now goes back to baseline, and now you go to move it and you realize that you strained something.
Hi, welcome to the Judy Terrell Show, where I explore topics intended to optimize every body, 50, 60, 70, and above.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Judy Terrell Show. I'm Judy Terrell, and this is the second series of my podcast. It has six parts to it, and I am focusing in on this six-part series on exercise for people over 50, both men and women. And I'm obviously an advocate for exercise, but when you're over 50, there are things that you need to do differently for this stage of your life, 50 and beyond, that are different than what you would have had to do when you were 20, 30, and even 40. And if you're not aware of them, you can A, get hurt and then be put out and not be able to do anything for 6, 8 months or longer, or B, you know, be training suboptimally and having more discomfort than is necessary for you to gain the goals that you're after and the adaptations in your body that you're after. So just to give you a little background, I am 59 years old myself, so I'm well into my 50s and I'm knocking on the door of 60s. I only have a few more months to get to that new benchmark. And I have been in the fitness industry since I'm 18 years old, so literally 4 decades. I'm a personal trainer. I am a group exercise instructor. I'm an athlete myself with 10 Ironman level triathlons to my credit, 4 over 100-mile ultra distance runs, and a whole plethora of other accomplishments that are less than those, but I'm highlighting those. So my point being that I'm living in a body that is athletic and over 50 and have the experience of 4 decades of working with individuals of all ages. But in the last 10 years, 9 years since I turned 50 myself, I'm kind of niched myself to focus in on the 50 plus population because I'm there myself and I have my own experience with it. And so I have more insight than I did when I myself was 30 or 40 or like obviously when I was 20, when I was training people. This second episode, I'm going to address 2 types of muscle and workout techniques that are very in vogue right now. And all the, you know, box programs are using these 2 types of movements. You know, anything that you go to the gym, anything streamed, you are going to find that within the workout and sometimes even within the warm-ups, there are these 2 types of muscle and movement things that I'm going to talk about, activities. And as 50 plus, we most likely will need to know how to adapt for our stage of life for these 2 types of movement patterns, okay? So the 2 are velocity movements and jumping movements, okay? So I'm going to address both of them. So let's define our terms here. Velocity movements. So right now, and I'm recording this in 2022, so it's not new right now, but it has been going on for at least a decade, and I foresee it continuing on for quite a while longer. A lot of exercise programming is involving movements that are either exactly taken from Olympic lifting, kettlebell type activities, resistance bands and tubes, with athletic training principles underneath them, that now the average person is getting put into their, you know, fitness programs like boot camps and circuit trainings and metabolic workouts and all sorts of things, personal training. And people who are 50 plus are finding that these type of movement patterns are being put into their workouts. But what's happening is a lot of people 50 plus are getting injured from them. Or having a host of joint and muscle discomfort ongoingly, the more they are doing the workouts, the more consistently they're doing the workouts, which is kind of like, you know, counter to what you want. You want to be feeling like you're getting fitter, you're getting more closer to your body goals, whether that be enhancement of muscle fiber, reduction of body fat. And you might be making headway towards those goals, but you're feeling like not so great in your body because things are hurting and they're starting to hurt more and more and more as you're doing more and more of the exercise, which is not what you want. And I always say to you that Part of the reason why is because a lot of programs now are incorporating velocity type movements. Okay. So the category of the type of, you know, programs, you know, Olympic lifting, kettlebell swinging, tubes, bands, resistance work with elastic kind of things that have, you have to be working in both directions. Otherwise they will snap you back. All those things are what I call velocity type movements. Okay. The second category of movement that I'm addressing in this episode is jumping type activities. Okay. So it might be burpees. It might be jumping jacks. It might be jump boxes. All these movement patterns now are in vogue, very popular, are going to come in all different workouts. And a lot of my 50 plus people are going into programs that are put on for all ages. And so they're standing next to or in a group with 20, 30s and 40 somethings. And now as a 50, 60 and even 70 something person in these group situations, you don't want to be the person who can't do it. So you get yourself to do it, you know, whether or not, regardless of what you're feeling in your body. And oftentimes when you're warmed up and you're in the, you know, heat of the workout, and you're the most limber and warm and the muscles are firing and they have been for like a half an hour or whatever, and everything's warm and you're sweating, you can do damage and not necessarily feel it until, you know, 24 hours later when your body's cooled down, you've stiffened up, the heat and the pliability of the muscles now goes back to baseline. And now you go to move it and you realize that you strained something. All right. So the two type of movements that I'm addressing right now, and they're not just one exercise. There's an endless, infinite number of exercises attached to both of these type of movement exercise loading. And so velocity type movements and jumping movements. Now, 50 somethings, 50, 60, 70 year olds come in all levels of fitness and ability to do these type of movements. Okay. So you can be a very sedentary, out of shape person who's in her 50s or his 50s, and you haven't done anything since you played lacrosse in college. And now you're like 40, you're hit 50, you're looking into possible retirement. You want to get in shape because you want to, you know, live your golden years feeling really good, or you got grandkids and you want to be in shape to move around with them. So you want to go into a program, you go into a program, and then, you know, like I said, you're in a situation where with younger people, you don't want to be the person who can't do these movements. That I'm not saying, all right, so there's that level where somebody has a fitness background but hasn't done anything for years. Then there are people in their 50s and 60s who've never done anything like formal exercise and have no muscle memory, and they're not really aware of muscle and body movement in time and space. Then you have people who are like very fit, and have been exercising all through their 30s, 40s, 50s, and they want to just keep going in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, but are living in older bodies. So I'm put myself as an example of that person. You know, I've been consistently exercising. I've never had a time where I've had to stop, but I'm 59 years old. And if I do a velocity move, in a way that might be, actually I'm going to use one specific to me, jump boxes. I have severely osteoarthritic knees, both of them, triple compartment. I could get knee replacements tomorrow, my orthopedist, you know, person told me, if I wanted to, that's how bad they are. And yet if I went into certain programs, I would be, it would be advocated for me to do jump boxes, maybe on a lower level than somebody else, but to do a jump box, which is where you're on the floor and you jump up onto a higher surface. That's not going to happen for my knees, although I would be in a situation where I would want to do it because everyone else is doing it. I don't want to be the person who stands out. Okay. So again, going back to, there's a huge variety of people who are in their 50s, 60s, and 70s and beyond, and completely different levels of fitness, levels of joint degeneration, levels of body awareness. And I don't know who's watching this. I'm assuming that if you're watching this, you could be in anybody. It could be in any one of those categories, but you're over 50. So that's my conceptualization. If you're over 50, I'm going to show you how. I'm not saying you can't do, you know, all these movements, but I'm going to show you how to do them safely And it may be, like I just said about jump boxes and my knees, I'm not doing jump boxes, okay? I might be able to jump 2 feet on the floor if I'm doing my landing very correctly, which I'm going to show you how to do in just a second. But you've got to, you know that these are the two type movements, because most people don't know. Like when I have people I'm working with who've gotten injured in doing something, and then they're coming to me so I can help them to avoid that in the future. And then I have them do some demonstration exercises so I can see how they're moving their body. It's amazing to me how they have not been taught how to properly execute and modify for the velocity of a movement or for the proper landing in jumping movements, which is what we're going to address right now. I'm going to do demonstrations so that you can visually see it. So then when you're in a program and you can recreate it yourself, regardless if you're someone who's never exercised or hasn't exercised in decades or has been consistently exercising, but is just 50 plus. Okay. So I'm going to illustrate a velocity, actually two velocity exercises, one for the upper body and one for the lower body. And so I'm going to use my setup here of, I have here a resistance tube tied to a stable surface. All right. And I'm going to just show you that lots of times this is the kind of movement where this is resistance, elastic. So if I pull it, like I obviously can feel the resistance this way, but if I'm not schooled in how to, you know, the awareness of how this works, it'll snap me back. And that, you know, so I'm going to pull, snap. And that's that velocity movement there when you're coming forward is where you'll get hurt. Okay. So when it comes to velocity, you know, you want to be very controlling. So obviously the resistance you're going to pull, but you want to create the opposite resistance back on the contracting part of the elastic. So this is the extension of the elastic. It's stretching, but then you have to be very careful to control on the release, right? Otherwise you're going to get a snap action. And, you know, it can happen the opposite way here too, because someone's aware, they kind of get that, they're like, oh, this has got resistance. And then what they'll do is they'll go bam, like to pull it back, because you're just, it's a different resistance than a static isotonic dumbbell. And if you're not familiar with it or you've never used it before, you know, you might get into these snapping kind of motions, okay? So the first thing I'm gonna say when it comes to velocity exercises, you wanna be very careful to try and stay with what I would call a titrated movement. So if it's four counts back, make it four counts forward, okay? Four counts back, four counts forward. Now, there's a lot of sports training things. I'm seeing this all over YouTube and Instagram and everything right now where, you know, when it comes to a sport, if you're like a lacrosse player or a baseball, you know, player or any number of sports, tennis player, any number of sports where there is actually a velocity in the, you know, when you're hitting with a racket or swinging with your club, or you're taking a lacrosse stick and passing the, you know, lacrosse ball. So you'll see things on YouTube and Instagram and all sorts of, you know, mass-produced training things for the average consumer, where there is actually a built-in snap and then release, snap, then release to simulate that sport movement. But if you're not preparing for that sport, then you, and you're over 50, you want to be very careful with that velocity because you'll get injured. All right. So now another type of motion, and that's very big right now in the fitness world, are kettlebell type activities. And most kettlebell activities involve swinging, which involves velocity. Okay. So like for instance, right now, very big is, you know, your basic kettlebell swing. Okay. So when you go down, then you pop it up. That's a velocity. That's swinging motion. When this weight goes out forward, it's pulling your whole body. And then you pull it back in. There's a snap and a velocity that's built into the movement. You know, if you're doing something like a clean, like our, you know, I'm not going to do like we actually do the flip because I'm not really proficient in that. But there's tons of motions, Olympic lifting and kettlebell swinging, where there is a built-in velocity. Okay, so you want to be very careful with those velocity type motions. A, you want to be well warmed up, not just warmed up. You want to have done muscle activation, which means maybe doing that movement without the weight first in a smaller, into more moderate, into a bigger movement before you pick up that weight. And then you want to be aware of not of trying to avoid the, like, minimize the snap action, try to make it a fluid, like a swinging kind of motion, as opposed to a snap up and then a down, snap up and a down, or a snap up and then a down, right? So you're avoiding the out of control part of that velocity. And you've also done muscle activation before you can do the velocity move, because as a 50 plus person, when you take the velocity and you're swinging that weight out, or you're pulling that resistance tube or band, and then it's going to lengthen you back, or the swing of the weight is now further extending the tissue that's going to be lengthening in that movement. As an older 50 plus person tissue, you can pull things way more readily than someone who's in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. So you want to be extra aware of doing muscle activation before you do velocity moves, and that you are fully in control of both the out and the in, you know, the extension and the contraction of the movement, so that you're avoiding these like over aggressive swings, which then take the tissue and they go like, so your muscle matrix like this, with that extra velocity and a weight, you get stretching, and then you get a ping, like in the, this is microscopic, by the way, of the muscle fibers. So you haven't ripped the whole muscle, although that can happen. You're like microscopically tearing more than you would need to, because you're not doing it in a controlled manner, and your tissue is more susceptible to these like out of control movements. Okay. All right. Now let me talk about jumping movements. All right. I'm not going to demonstrate a jump box, because I told you I'm not doing jump boxes, but there's a lot of on the, you know, just floor jumps, you know, like burpees and jumping jacks, or just double leg jumps, you know, that are involved in a variety of exercise programs. And the number one thing with jumps, number one is you got to assess, like if you've got bad knees, bad hips, lower back, like you're going to say, okay, you know what? I'm not doing the jump. You don't have to do the jump. You can actually do something where you're just going up onto your toes. So for instance, you know, if you're going to do a jumping motion, you can actually, I'm going to do it sideways, like go right up off the floor, okay? Or you can just go up on your toes, okay? So that's a modified jump. So you're not actually getting the whole impact coming down on, you know, a susceptible joint space in your body, lower back, knees, hips in this particular type of movement of leg jumping. Now, let's say you can jump, but you've got you got like knees like mine. So I can do some double leg jumping on the floor. I wouldn't do it up onto a jump box, but it's the landing. I've worked with, honestly, 16 to 25 year old athletic, a lot of times it's women, but it happens for men too, that are doing jumping moves because it's preparing them for their sport, but they don't know how to land. Okay. So when you're going to do a jumping move, let me show you how not to land. Okay. You're going to go into a jump, and the improper way of landing is this, right? From the side, right? It's like taking, it's like you're bringing the weight up and then it's landing rigid. Okay. That is a setup for injury. Okay. The proper way to do a jump move is to think about your body like a spring. It's going to extend out, and then when you land, it's going to recoil on itself and like absorb that, okay, as opposed to slapping down. So it's the landing part of the jumping that you have to be aware of, okay? So when you're doing it properly, you jump, but when you land, you're going to think of yourself like a slinky or a spring that is now recoiling. Okay. It doesn't go right down the floor. It's like recoiling. It's a little slower. And there's like the, all your joints, your knees, your ankles, and your hips, you want to think about as like, you know, a spring coiling back on itself, where you're absorbing the loading coming down. So it's a softer, and there's actually some bending going on. So this is wrong. This is right. So you're absorbing the weight coming down. So then you can re-jump. But you're absorbing it versus, okay? Now, you can also, I do some plyometric things for my women, especially who have, you know, wrist osteoporosis. So it's not just lower body where you can be getting this kind of jumping type motion or this plyometric type motion. Like I'll have people do a falling push-up. So you come down, boom, absorb it, and then push back up. But if you absorb it
like rigidly, now you're going to hurt you. That's going to hurt your wrists. It's going to hurt your elbows. It's going to make your glasses fall like mine just did. But so in other words, it doesn't have to be just your lower body. You whenever you're doing anything where there's a plyometric, where there's a spring up and then you're landing back down, you want to land soft. Okay. So that you're, it's like the spring is recoiling on itself, preparing for the next one up. Now those type movements are really good for somebody who has, degenerative bone disease, if it hasn't, you know, progressed very severely yet, because you're getting like 3 times your body weight on your bones, which is really good for then bone osteoblast and recruitment. Very good for sport performance and, you know, muscle development to a certain degree too. But if you're not doing it correctly, you're going to get hurt. And if you're 20, 30, and maybe 40 in your 40s, you might not get hurt severely. But if you're over 50, you can get very hurt. And so burpees, jumping jacks, you know, you're either going to modify them so that you're not actually doing the full jump. You're doing it up onto your toes, not taking the full absorption, or you're going to teach yourself based on what I just showed you on how to spring load back down, or find a trainer where you can actually work on that technique with the person, because you may think you're doing the absorption, but you're not really doing it. Okay. So again, second, in my series of how to exercise when you're 50 plus, modification for this stage of our life. It is velocity moves and jumping moves, and you don't have to not do them unless they're specific. Like I said, my osteoporotic knees, I'm definitely going to not do jump boxes. But most of the time, there's a way to find a modify when you know that you have to modify and you've been taught, like I just taught you, so that when you go into a program that's being put on by a 30-something and a 30-something year old or 40-something or 20-something year old, they're not in your 50 plus year old body. And I'm throwing myself under the bus. When I was in my 30s and 20s, I didn't know this either. And I read all the literature, was certified and stayed up to date. But now that I'm in it, like I can, this is why I'm putting these podcasts on and why this series is about how to do exercise when you're over 50 in this stage of your life and beyond. Because I'm experiencing it as well as working in the trenches with people on this every single day, of all levels of fitness and workout and movement experience from 50 and older. All right, so that was my second out of this 6-part series. And I just want to throw a little bone your way. So if you're finding this interesting and helpful, if you go to my website, you will see that there's a pre-recorded 4-video series. One is for men, one is for women, on over 50, and it's 4 different videos. One of them is on nutrition. One of them is on the exercise. One of them is on how to think mindset for over 50. And the 4th one is supplements for over 50. One 4-part series is for males. One is for females. And if you're thinking that you could get some value from it, take yourself to my website, look under the over 50 tab on the top, click down, you'll see the drop-down menu. Go check it out. I think you'd find it very valuable to have in your own personal toolbox for keeping yourself fit, optimal, and well, and ideal from now until whenever your last breath of day is on this planet. All right, everybody, be well. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And if you'd like to have access to some of my additional resources, I can be found at Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and on my website, www.judyterrell.com.